This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. The clock is ticking for Republican congressional leaders hoping to pass health care reform legislation as part of the budget reconciliation process. September 30th is the deadline for a measure to pass the Senate with a simple majority. Earlier this week, a bipartisan effort to offer changes reportedly stalled. Taking its place was a measure co-sponsored by Senators Cassidy and Graham. But that bill faces opposition from governors on both sides of the aisle, and its future is uncertain.
Kathy Mahaffey is still holding out hope of some reform taking place this fall. Mahaffey is the CEO of one of the five remaining healthcare co-ops that came into existence after the passage of the Affordable Care Act. The Common Ground Healthcare Cooperative is based in Brookfield, and its members come from the eastern side of Wisconsin. Mahaffey joins us in the studio now. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
Let me start you with a kind of big picture question. We're having this conversation. It's a pretty interesting time for healthcare and healthcare reform in this country. What is the one thing that keeps you up at night the most about this work?
Well, that's a great question. Certainly, I could name a few things, the one that comes to mind when you ask the question is really, you know, as a cooperative that is governed by our members, what keeps me up at night is really about the affordability of their health insurance going forward. And, you know, the concern about really the lack of the ability to pass meaningful reform and really what that means for consumers, especially consumers that are, lower income and consumers who don't get premium assistance. And really, how are they going to be able to afford their health insurance?
Tell me about the evolution of Common Ground Healthcare.
Sure. Well, we were formed really from the Affordable Care Act when there was a provision to start nonprofit co-ops, and a group of volunteers really felt strongly about the need to do something better and different. And so we launched in 2014 along with the Affordable Care Act, and there were a lot of uncertainties at that point. And we've faced a lot of obstacles. And so we have adjusted as necessary. We really are a carrier that serves the individual market primarily. Most of our members also receive premium subsidies to help with their insurance. So we're really committed to serving individuals and small employers in 19 counties along the east side of the state. And it's been a really great experience in terms of helping a lot of people who need health insurance, but also a really challenging experience in terms of trying to navigate all of these uncertainties.
Right. There has been uncertainty since day one. I gather the uncertainty itself has evolved, but hasn't gotten any clearer.
Absolutely. I think that's probably the most difficult part of trying to run the co-op is that uncertainty does not sit well with health insurance companies, certainly. And I was very hopeful, you know, that maybe some of that uncertainty would start to clear, particularly this year with the promise to make some changes to the Affordable Care Act or to find a better way. But, you know, that hasn't happened, so it doesn't get any easier, that's for sure.
Can you give us a quick primer on how healthcare cooperatives work and how they fit in the context of the American healthcare system today?
Sure. Well, Wisconsin and Minnesota are very rich co-op states, and so I've had the pleasure of working on other co-op initiatives before, and I really like the model because the model is really all about the member. We exist to serve our members. We make our decisions based on what's in the best interest of our members and not any outside shareholders. Our board of directors is elected from our membership, and they must be members. They must be purchasing our health insurance. So they really represent our members that we serve every day. So I think it's a great model for health insurance because our motives are really clear and really aligned with those of our members. That doesn't mean that we don't have to make tough decisions and sometimes not all of our members benefit, but our focus is to serve as many of our members as possible and make the best possible decisions. So I think that it's a great model for health insurance.
How do economies of scale play into this? How much do you depend on having a robust number of members to be able to make this work?
Yeah, that's very important because, as you might imagine, health insurance companies have their administrative costs. And if we can spread those across more members, then it only helps keep our prices in line. So that is important. And also the way that health insurance works, when you have to negotiate with vendors or providers of health care, obviously having more members that we represent, gives us a larger voice. So it is very important.
As CEO, I don't know how much kind of day-to-day contact you have with members, but I imagine you at least have indirect contact with them. And I'm curious what you're hearing from them, what their concerns are, and what's keeping them up at night. I imagine many of the same things that are keeping you up at night.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have the benefit of talking to members from time to time. We often have town hall meetings, or we also have new member welcome meetings. So I get to interact with our members, and they are worried. They are scared because of all of the different discussions about healthcare reform. They also often don't know what's going to happen to their health insurance. And so, you know, we try to assure them, we try to educate them, inform them, make sure they know we're advocating for them as well. But it is a very difficult time for people right now because of the level of uncertainty.
Right. And I imagine, I mean, it's an awkward position to be in. You know, the idea of insuring is to some degree about reassuring. And there's probably only so much reassuring you can do at this stage.
Right. Exactly. I mean, we stay up to date on all of the developments, and again, try to make sure our members are as educated as possible. But it is difficult, with so many different bills that have been presented or have been in play, with not knowing what changes might happen. I think almost the worst thing, though, that could happen is nothing, which somewhat appears like that might be the case. But
now, why would nothing be such a problem for you?
Yeah, I have been concerned for quite some time now in terms of, the Affordable Care Act was a great initiative to get us started on the path with reform and shoring up really a lot of some of the health insurance practices. So I think it was a great phase one, as I like to call it. But it was clear that some of the provisions, weren't as effective as were intended. And so adjustments were needed. And I was very hopeful that 2017 would bring those necessary adjustments. The market is unstable right now. Reform is needed. Changes and fixes are absolutely needed. And, of course, you've probably been hearing that the issue of the lack of funding for cost-sharing reduction payments, I mean, that presents a significant issue. Our members will pay more as a result of that. So doing nothing is absolutely worse, in my opinion, at this point. I believe, as has been said, that our legislators were elected to do something, right, about the Affordable Care Act, whether it's debatable if it was a repeal and replace. But I believe that consumers wanted something better, and they were expecting something better. And in fact, it's resulting in something worse.
We've talked obviously a lot about healthcare reform on this show in days past and months past and years past. And one of the issues that keeps coming up is this kind of fundamental philosophical discussion that we don't seem to have had in this country about how we should treat healthcare. Do you think there's a big question about, and I don't know whether it's oversimplifying it to talk about it versus as, right versus privilege, but just the nature of, what a country owes to the people who live here. And I'm curious where you come down on that whole issue.
Right. I know that there is the constant debate about is healthcare or coverage a right. But I think what the difficulty there is when you do look at the market prior to the enactment of the Affordable Care Act, there frankly were a lot of people that struggled to get health insurance. If there was a pre-existing condition, really you could not get commercial insurance. Now, Wisconsin had a high-risk pool that was an option. Some consumers felt that that was unaffordable, however. So I do think that we need to find a way to make sure our citizens have access to health insurance and health insurance that is affordable. But I think that we're really focused on the wrong issue, in my opinion. All of this discussion that's been going on is about health insurance and what should the deductibles be and what should the list of benefits and how should we treat pre-existing conditions. But there is a reason that health insurance is expensive, and that's because health care is expensive. And pharmaceutical costs, we're seeing costs that we've never seen before. So I really think we need to focus on how can we get a handle on managing health care costs, bringing down costs of care. And then I think that we can get into the debate about the access and affordability of health insurance.
Do you have any idea where that starts? How you start to reverse engineer the cost of health care?
Well, I think that there needs to be, you know, a look at, you know, I would call it payment reform in terms of, you know, one of the criticisms, right, of health care is that no one knows what anything costs. It's impossible for a consumer really to get the real cost of their services to make meaningful decisions. If consumers don't have any idea what an MRI costs at one facility versus another, how can they make a good purchasing decision? So I think there's a variety of elements there. There is payment reform. We need to talk about how, you know, providers are, you know, charging for their services. We need to talk about consumers having access to the information to make better decisions. But it's a big, big topic, and it's not easily solved. But I think until we start having those meaningful conversations, all we're going to do is talk about health insurance and deductibles and benefits. And that's really not going to solve the problem that we have.
As a health industry leader, do you have opportunity to speak with lawmakers as this debate is going on?
Yes. We have been able to have those discussions with lawmakers. I've been in Senator Johnson's office. So we do take those opportunities. When the first health care reform bill came out earlier this year, we did do a position paper and, you know, did distribute that to our local lawmakers. So every opportunity we get, you know, we want to make sure our voice is heard. And we've met with several of our representatives as well. So
do you hold your breath when you check your we were talking before we started recording, and I know you were on vacation and following, you know, following the developments over the summer. I don't know whether you were in a canoe or a kayak or what, but there must be some kind of nervous anticipation every time you turn on your phone or your computer in the morning.
Yes, and actually I was just saying this to our board of directors earlier this week when we were talking about the Graham-Cassidy bill, and I said, well, I'm almost getting desensitized, though, to it because there have been so many iterations of health care reform bills, and, you know, I obviously need to keep paying attention, but at some point you're kind of like, well, I'm really not sure they're going to be able to do anything. And so that's, again, my main concern is that the market needs to be stabilized. The premium increases that consumers are going to see next year are higher than they've ever seen. And we're very concerned at our co-op about folks that are going to be hurt. We often talk about or hear about the entrepreneurs and the fact that they are very successful running their businesses, but they don't have enough employees to have a group plan. So they buy on the exchanges. They don't get premium assistance. Those folks are really going to get hurt next year because of the lack of action, the lack of meaningful health care reform. So we're very concerned.
Kathy Mahaffey, I hope we'll have a chance to talk again down the road. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Kathy Mahaffey is CEO of Brookfield-based Common Ground Healthcare Cooperative. You can find more of our coverage of healthcare and healthcare reform at WUWM.com.